were you born to do? Every human being is born for a purpose. What's yours? The Giftedness Center has helped thousands of people find and follow their purpose. Knowing your giftedness is the key to making wise choices for how you live your life. Visit thegiftednesscenter.com or call 214-665-9581. The Giftedness Center. Isn't it about time you figure out what to do with your career and life? Call today.
Join Bill Hendricks, president of the Giftedness Center, on Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Saturday mornings, 9 to 11, here on 104.1 The Truth.
Happy New Year. This is Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. And to one and all, I trust that your celebrations over the past few days, whether filled with family, friends, and antics galore, or on the flip side, perhaps quiet, relaxing, and restorative, or maybe somewhere in between, have put you in a place of positive anticipation for 2010. Well, my plan is to reinforce such a vector and help you circle back and learn, reflect, and pull your lifetime of relationships and experiences together in new ways to set out a new trajectory, not necessarily to run in circles. Like every Saturday, our commitment is to equip you with pragmatic advice and even unconventional wisdom for you to be more of who you are and what you stand for, not less, and to help you help others to embrace, not shy away from change. Every day, everything could change, whether it's obvious to us or not. And something happens to create a shift like that first domino as it tips into the next along a circling path, and we can either tip or be tipped. Well, I rolled back into Tucson this morning after midnight from our family vacation in New England. Cross-country flight, I reread a book from the late 90s by a consultant who at the time was viewed as a really kind of being out there on the edge. In fact, he posed on the cover in a very sharp black suit, but with the shoes off. And that was Lance Secretan. He's author of Reclaiming Higher Ground, Creating Organizations That Inspire the Soul. And he used words like sanctuary, blithe spirit, missionaries, love, patience, trust, courage, and rolling back the information overload. And mind you, this was about 1996 when he wrote this book. And you know, it was like I greeted an old friend, and then I got a clear look into where really I was at the time and to where I've gone or I continue to go, because frankly, I was smiling at all the underlined and highlighted passages that I had done back then. So if you think I was hard over on this pioneering mission of helping others appreciate and celebrate who they are and press forward towards change, unleashing whatever has tied them down or suppressed them in the past, you haven't seen anything yet. So welcome to 2010 Circles of Change and all the circles we're going to go in as we stride into our third year with our show, and 200 already have been scheduled. So first up today will be Bill Hendricks from the Giftedness Center, which is a SEMA International affiliate, a organization I'm also teamed with, that helps individuals and their organizations leverage our motivated abilities for optimum career fit. We're going to talk about applying this self-awareness to starting your own business. Jen Cushell, then, from the Your Success Network in Los Angeles follows, and as frequent listeners know, Jen leads an organization dedicated to help the over 1 billion youth around the globe realize their dreams. She's going to share news of their new product, which is called Fast Track to Success. Mark Samuel from Impact Corporation and I are going to then kick around the topic of intentions as opposed to resolutions. And in fact, I have about 2 pages of my own scribbles from yesterday's cross-country flights to bear the fruit of that exercise. We've been partnering since July, and Mark is a noted expert in accountability, meaning, in other words, how we better count on ourselves and deliver results so others can count on us in meaningful ways. I'll then wrap up the show with a 40-minute segment with special guest Arlene Peterson of Peterson Design Group from here in Tucson. Arlene and her husband Christo are web designers with a real passion for helping their clients bring forth values and anchor their brands, topics relevant to businesses as well as those of you that may be in the midst of change. In other words, just how can you communicate who you are and what you stand for to shape then a value proposition that's distinct and makes others take notice? The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is the firm, of course, that I lead. We're a change leadership consulting, executive, and career coaching firm, helping organizations not just change the status quo in some way, but go big time, not merely finding jobs or fixing broken organizations. As I say, don't wait for someone else to put that map in front of you. Create and build your own opportunity, your path, trusting that as you move forward, the stepping stones will appear as you put your foot down. And that is both in the context of you're wanting to shift organizations or even make more of where you are. So visit our site, thelarsongroup.com, to survey our services and tap the free library now of over 160 radio show podcasts. So what a great year 2009 was since we moved to 104.1 FM in July. Hats off to Shannon Blake, my producer, and the full team here at the station. Plus thanks to the sponsors that financially keep our show moving forward. Please consider offering them some of your business this year as a way to thank them for the value they're adding to our efforts. And those are financial planners Larry Loff and Chris Lopez, Greg Truby from Rain Chaser Landscaping, Raspberry Frozen Yogurt, Mama Llama's Gourmet Empanadas and Certino's Cafe, Dark Star Leather, Abbott Taylor Jewelers, Natural Awakenings Magazine, BYM Yoga, and then our new sponsor, Referral Tree. So stay tuned with that. We'll be right back here on Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it, here on 104.1 The Truth, Tucson News Talk FM. Well, welcome back here on Circles of Change. And if they thought 2009 was a year of change, they ain't seen nothing yet. Welcome to 2010. Yes, we're at that transition point. So me coughing in the first segment, Shannon, and us recovering our stable ground. Welcome on the line to my broadcast partner, Bill Hendricks from the Gifted Center. Bill, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, Zara, and your listeners.
Thank you very, very much. Well, I wanted to start the year out and just give a brief recap. Perhaps we're going to sweep in some new followers and reintroduce Bill. Bill's the president of the Giftedness Center, which is a Dallas-based consulting firm, specializes in organizational effectiveness as well as individual career guidance. So obviously his mission is right on top of mine here for our show. He's the author or co-author of 17 books and other publications, I Want to Grow Up to Be Just Like You, My Friend, and he holds an undergraduate degree in English from Harvard University, a master's degree in mass communications from Boston University, and also a master's in biblical studies from Dallas Theological Seminary. He's married and the father of three daughters and has a wonderful practice called the Giftedness Center. So, Bill, again, thank you for partnering in 2009 and looking forward to what we're going to stir up here in 2010.
Well, that's my privilege.
You got it. Well, thank you very much. Well, you know, we had said one nice topic to start out the new year is many times people are reflecting upon, regardless of what the economy's doing, and that would be this idea and dream of doing their own thing and starting their own business. Head us down that path, Bill.
Well, I want to be encouraging, but I also want to be realistic. I think it's a wonderful thing if a person dreams of having their own business. I think that, in my experience, the vast majority of people probably should not have their own businesses, but here and there, you find people that really are wired to do that, and it's a good thing because our economy depends on the entrepreneur. And so I have a really warm affection in my heart for the true entrepreneur.
Well, Bill, what do you think, though, is how does a person know, then, whether this is a good option for his or her, him or her?
Well, as I always get to very quickly, sure. They need to begin with their own giftedness, which means the way that they are uniquely designed and their core strengths and natural motivation. But a quick way to begin to test that is to ask the question as they look back over their own life history, do I have a history of starting not only new things but new business ventures? And you will find people that all the way back to childhood, through their teen years, through their educational years and so forth, you know, they've always had something where they were making a profit, making a buck, making a sale, making a customer. That is a strong history or strong evidence in their history that they probably have some kind of a, I guess you could call it an entrepreneurial gene. By contrast, if somebody's never, ever had any motivation or interest to, you know, sell lemonade or throw the paper or, you know, anything where they would, you know, sell raffle tickets or whatever, recruit people to a cause, it's not that they can't be in business for themselves. They just need to question carefully whether that's going to be the best situation for them.
Or that if they see an opportunity, though, to do something they're really passionate and they love to do, is how could they surround themselves perhaps with some of those very people you were talking about that were always out there doing the things that raise the eyebrows of the older people?
Well, that's really brings us to the next point, which is if you are thinking of starting your own business, one of the first questions you need to ask is, who else do I need with me to be effective? None of us is omnicompetent. And while it's true that some people sort of have what I just referred to as kind of an entrepreneurial gene, that doesn't mean even they are gifted to do everything. So maybe they're a great salesperson or they have a great managerial skill. They may need somebody in marketing and in finance, in manufacturing or operations or, you know, whatever their particular idea is for their business. But most people need some other players to bring gifts that they don't inherently have. And one of the reasons that businesses often fail is the entrepreneur is trying to do too much on their own, and they're not wired to do all that stuff.
I think there's another challenge, too, is that you even said it, as you said, to giftedness, were you the ones that were starting things? Well, it's one thing to start it. It's another thing to sustain it. So it's this idea of not just doing the lemonade stand once, but perhaps repeated times, and how you're going to enhance that capability. Or it wasn't just the first time you led an advocacy endeavor in high school, but were you inclined to want to take it to the next level? Because it's always this idea of how you're going to change the change.
Yeah, the word that I would put on it is execution. You know, a lot of people have great ideas, and I know I have friends who they're constantly, you know, watching TV or reading the paper or whatever, and it spawns an idea for a business, and they think, boy, we could make millions if we could just do that. Well, you know, having the idea and getting something started, that's almost the easy part. What you talk about in terms of sustainability is a factor of execution on a daily basis, doing the processes that need to be done, primarily to make a customer and keep a customer coming back. And that's really at the heart of that whole thing of having your business, is you've got to do whatever it takes to get people to keep buying whatever your product or service is. And not everybody has that commitment to the execution part and enjoys that part as much as they enjoy the part of just getting everything started.
You know, it's a question. I mentioned how I was scribbling things on the airplane as I was coming across the country. I had the pleasure to start my business 2 years ago, and I know you've been in business for yourself a long time. And I think the one advice someone gave me is just to remember, particularly during your formative years, that a significant part of your time is going to be selling, not doing. And that, I think, is one of those things, particularly this idea of you've got the great idea and you've given birth to it, that really running your own business is working on the business, not necessarily just in the business. And that's a real challenge to strike that balance.
It's a huge challenge. What you're really trying to do in the early going is create or really discover what I call the formula. What that means is that if something is really viable, if a business is really viable, there's usually kind of a formula around, you know, getting the customer, getting the sale, getting the product or service to them in a way that meets their expectations, getting paid, and pricing it in a way that makes all that work. That sounds pretty easy to just kind of lay out a few of those steps. That can take 2 or 3 years or more sometimes to figure out what's that formula that pretty much guarantees that if I do certain processes, I'm going to get a certain financial return that allows me to stay in business. And the ability to hang in there for those first few years and figure out that formula, you know, that's something that not everybody is wired to do. But those who are, boy, you look at some of the great companies in our economy, and they all started with somebody who had that gift.
That's true. I wanted to also, since our listeners heard me talk about, I reread this book, Reclaiming Higher Ground, Creating Organizations That Inspire the Soul. And one comment, too, that really resonated me was this whole area of patience. And it says, real quick, if I might read, consider how the bamboo grows. After the seed falls to the ground, it's watered by rains and nourished by the nutrients of the soil. During the first year, nothing happens. The rains and earth continue to do their work. For the second year, nothing happens. The pattern is repeated during the third and fourth year. Still nothing happens. And suddenly in the fifth year, during a span of not more than 6 weeks, the bamboo grows 90 feet.
Mm.
So part of what you're saying, too, is this idea of investing, patience, sticking with it, but also having thus those attributes or those gifts, right, to understand the foreseeing, the anticipating, the planning, the strategizing.
Absolutely. I have a close friend who always describes successful people as, you know, there's somebody who it took them 20 years to become an overnight success. and I like that image of the bamboo. Really, what you're trying to do there in the early going is to keep watering that seed. And you have to have patience, and you have to have belief that you're on to something. part of it is an issue of cash flow. As long as you can keep the cash flowing, you can keep going. It's when those rains of cash dry up that you're in serious trouble, and that's when you start to wonder, you know, is this viable? Unfortunately, in some ways. There's a kind of a motivation that we see called overcome and prevail. These are folks that, mm-hmm. you know, no matter what happens, they're never going to quit. And that's a wonderful gift, and it often keeps people in the game long enough to succeed. Unfortunately, the dark side of that gift is it can also keep a person into the game long after the game is lost and there's no hope of winning. And then they really do, you know, fall upon ruin. And they kind of have to know themselves and really have around them, that's what I said earlier, having a team around you and perhaps even a personal board of directors who looks you in the eye and says, you know, it's an idea that ought to work. You're the right person to make it work. There's no reason why it shouldn't work. The problem is it ain't working. You know, I think it's time to fold your tent and try something else.
But, you know, I would say that same advice relates to people who are inside organizations and still trying to turn the gears to the right constantly, and that's not working either. So
yeah,
some of these principles are the same.
Yeah, I know you work a lot with people in organizational life, particularly large organizations, and it's very, very difficult, as you of all people know, to create change the larger the organization is. It's not impossible, but for one person it becomes very challenging. And you're absolutely right. Some people will stay in a not good situation far longer than they need to. And believe it or not, some of those people who are stuck in large organizations actually would thrive and do much, much better out on their own with their own business. The organization has changed on them from when they started. They keep thinking it's somehow going to go back to the old days or get to some new era when the thing may be so dysfunctional, you know, or the seasons change. There may be nothing wrong with the organization, but it doesn't fit them anymore.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they need to think about what are my other options. And given their experience, their maturity, their resources, having your own venture might be a real possibility at a certain stage.
It's interesting. I read an article this past week that talked about how more books are written first-time authors when they're in their 50s. And it's this place where people go to kind of get reconnected with maybe who they've always been throughout their life, but they've been waiting to let it come out in a different way. And I think that's part of what you're saying. I reflect back on your one comment, Bill. This really comes down to really deep self-awareness. And the idea of understanding our own stories and perhaps having to lean on someone else to help us understand what we're really telling.
Well, many of the clients who come to my practice as individuals are, in fact, in their 50s, late 40s, 50s, asking those very questions. And what I've discovered is that a lot of them went right out of college into entry-level jobs or, you know, professional practices like law or accounting or whatever. And they've kind of beavered away all these years, and now they're grown up, and they've come back to a question that maybe they should have paid more attention to in their early 20s but didn't know how, which is, you know, what was I really put here to do?
Mm-hmm.
And in their 50s, you know, they think of cashing out or leaving the situation they're in, want to know what their options are, and we're able to help them see what their giftedness predisposes them to. And a goodly number of them, at least in my practice, actually do go out and start ventures, and they succeed because they do have maturity and experience, and, you know, they've been around life long enough to really know something and have a contribution to make.
I think the other side of it is when you say experience, of course, that means not just the ones we talk about with wild success, but also the learnings we get from maybe things we didn't do that well. But that
Absolutely.
We can embrace it in a positive way to say, okay, then it's telling me to go in a different direction. I think part of the other question I have or thought is, you know, you think you're watering that bamboo to grow bamboo. And, you know, sometimes what comes up may not be bamboo, but it may be equally as sound and important. So part of this the idea of the entrepreneur might be something that's just tangential to what you otherwise thought you were focused on doing.
Yeah, I mean, this may sound a little bit cynical, but I believe that entrepreneurism is not primarily focused on success. It's in a way having to contend with failure and figuring out from what doesn't work, you know, what does work. And it's that issue of experience. You know, after you've dropped the ball a few times, you've at least figured out what doesn't work. And so that makes you not just more cautious, but in some ways wiser about where you put your efforts and your energy. instead of chasing, you know, wild rabbits all over the field that are never going to amount to anything.
Well, Bill, we've got listeners of all age and stage of career listening in right now, and certainly those that are going to tap our insights via podcast after the fact. What's your advice to young people in terms of this entrepreneurial exploring? Maybe juxtapose that to those who are more mature and more experienced and perhaps have more at risk in terms of life's overhead that we bring with us.
Well, I get very excited about young people and entrepreneurialism, because when you're young, you don't have as many things tying you down, mm-hmm. so you've got more options. You've also tend to got more energy and enthusiasm, and you're still quite optimistic about life. All of those come in handy when you're thinking about starting something. The challenge, of course, when you're young is you're naive and you don't know what you don't know. And so the two things I would come back to, one is this issue of one's giftedness. I mean, ask yourself as a young person, do I have any kind of motivation, as evidenced by a history of making any kind of a profit or making any kind of a sale, or you know, getting people somehow interested in buying whatever I've got to offer? And is that something that I think, you know, I really could do? Now, of course, you've got inventors who may not be salespeople, but they've got a great mousetrap. And then, like you said earlier, they need somebody else who can help them sell it. But the other thing is, when you're young, think about finding a mentor who could help who could help you as you think about this venture that you're contemplating. You know, somebody who's a little older can help you ask the right questions, help you put together, first of all, a marketing plan. How are you going to sell this thing? And somewhat of a business plan, who else you need to be effective and how the thing's going to be structured.
Absolutely.
And how you're
going to make it work. In fact, let me wrap with one thought. This idea is that none of us are omnicompetent. I like that, and how we lean on others. Well, Bill Hendricks, again, Happy New Year. We'll look forward to patching up with you here in the next few weeks. Have a great day.
Thanks, Zara. You too.
You bet. Remember, folks, it's thegiftednesscenter.com. Take care.
What were you born to do? Every human being is born for a purpose. What's yours? The Giftedness Center has helped thousands of people find and follow their purpose. Knowing your giftedness is the key to making wise choices for how you live your life. Visit thegiftednesscenter.com or call 214-665-9581. The Giftedness Center. Isn't it about time you figure out what to do with your career and life? Call today.